You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite bookseller. Publishers Weekly calls Get Scrappy a helpful digital marketing Bible. You can read the first chapter, get special digital extras, and learn more now at GetScrappyBook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Dave Gerhart. Dave is the director of marketing at Drift, a Boston-based startup that helps sales and customer success teams connect with their customers. Dave has spent the first 7 years of his career working at SaaS marketing companies, including HubSpot and Constant Contact, and he was recently named one of Boston's 50 on Fire for 2017. He's also the co-host of Seeking Wisdom, a podcast about health, wealth, life, and learning. Dave, welcome to On Brand.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Now, to confirm, you are not literally on fire, as the as the name suggests.
No, I was sick last week, and I felt like I was, but I'm back. I'm definitely not on fire. Yeah.
Well, you know, in reading that in the bio, it threw me for a curve, which is always good because you know, you usually get your 40 under whatever and everything that people do. Few go with being on fire. So way to.
Yeah, you know, I put it in there because it sounds really cool and makes me seem important. And I felt like I needed after my bio says like what I did, and like I feel like I needed one line, and I don't have a lot of those things yet, and so I wanted to put that in there, and it's a good conversation starter.
It is, as evidenced right now. But you know, it's interesting because as a fellow podcast host, you know that you get bios sometimes all over the place, and some are kind of 5-paragraph long sentence things, and others are nice and short and sweet, and then end with a great line about. about fire. So
that's right.
Well, it is great to have you here, and you actually came up just a few short episodes ago when we were talking with our mutual friend Jay Acunzo, who talked about kind of taking risks as a brand and trying new things, and he told a story to kind of dive right in about you and your content that I thought was really profound, the content at Drift, and about ungating that. Would you refresh the listeners on kind of how you, as that's a bold decision, you know, everybody, but we're also precious with our content and it seems risky.
Yeah. So first, you know, shout out to Jay. Love that guy. Thanks for, you know, he's been plugging us. I don't know what we did to get his interest, but I appreciate that. Yeah. And so, you know, I run marketing at Drift, and about probably 6 months into us actually officially doing marketing, you know, after I came on board and we, you know, decided to actually start telling people about what we're doing, I get a call one day from my boss, our CEO, David Cancel, and he's like, hey, I think we should kill all of our gated content and lead forms. And I just was like, I just stopped for 2 seconds because I didn't know what to say. Like, I get measured on how many leads we bring in, and you're going to tell me that like, I don't get to do that anymore. And I'd been using all those methods. And so obviously, like, you know, this guy knows what he's doing. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to hear him out. And he basically just went on to explain, like, you know, how number one is we have a product that, you know, so many SaaS businesses are shifting to free now, where like, you know, gone are the days where you had to contact sales in order to get into a product. And so, you know, whether it's Slack or MailChimp, You know, or us at Drift, for example, like the product starts at free because the goal is to get people into the product and then let the product experience and their success eventually lead them on the path to pay. And so when he broke it down like that, I was like, you know what? That actually makes a lot of sense. What do I care about getting an email subscriber or somebody to download an ebook that we wrote? Like, I want to get people into our product and using our product. And then once they're in there, we're actually able to use way better data than I can get on a content subscriber, because I can see how many contacts you uploaded, you know, things that you're actually doing inside of our product, how often you log in. And so when he broke it down like that, it started to make a lot of sense. And then he just was like, you know, and I think that marketing has started to lose its way a little bit. We've fallen in love with the analytics and the tactics, and like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm just as data driven as anybody else. Like, we care about numbers and revenue at Drift, but like, you know, so many people have gone to the point where it just blinded them to actually doing things that create emotion and elicit a response from people.
Well, I think that's the big point. You know, we get so caught in our funnels and measurement and analytics, and, you know, you work on the kind of incremental lifts that you can see and kind of managing those. But in terms of, you know, kind of making a big dent, I mean, I think it takes bold decisions to kind of, like you said, register that emotion that I feel like, as everybody's overwhelmed increasingly by choice options in how they do what they do, I think that those are the brands that really stand out, are the ones that are, you know, helping immediately beyond, okay, you're going to leave me to your form and right. I'm just going to stop. I just came right to one of those the other day. So.
And so, like, just yesterday, like, we launched an ebook that David wrote, and we decided it's 70 pages long, and we decided to make it 100% free. Like, the landing page for the book doesn't, you don't have to put your email address in to get it. And, you know, I don't know exactly how to measure that in terms of like, well, how did creating that ebook lead to revenue for our business? But I'm fortunate enough to report to a guy who knows that that's not the purpose of creating that ebook. And so I think like that's the question that's at the core of a lot of these things that a lot of people don't want to talk about is, you know, people will complain about like, I totally agree with what you guys are saying and I want to do the same thing at my business, but like, that's just not how our company does it. It's like, well, then you got to go work with the right people. If you don't feel it, like if you don't really truly feel passionate about what you're doing and feel the purpose of it, then like, you know, it's easy advice for me to sit here on this podcast and saying like, go leave your job. But like, yeah, so I'm just saying like, I'm fortunate enough to work for a CEO who has told me as a marketing person, I don't care about you getting email subscribers. I care about you getting people to use our product.
I love that because, you know, that's you know, ultimately it's something more powerful. And like you said, you can see all kinds of real product interactions. So beyond, you know, measuring your marketing, you also have some insights on product use baked in there as well.
Yeah. I mean, so the number one lever that we have as a business is insights into what people are actually doing. And so sales model on its head, instead of telling you about all these features, and you know, how you might use them before you even use them, we're waiting. Our sales team is going to call you if, like, you know, Nick, if you go and create an account and all of a sudden you've done, you know, three key actions that we've found that most paying customers do, that's when sales is going to reach out. And also as a marketer, I can create such a better experience for you because I can say, okay, this person hasn't done this, so I'm going to tell them about that. Whereas instead of the other model, you're just kind of blanketing everybody with the same message, hoping that like one of those sticks.
That's a great approach. And again, it's kind of echoed throughout your content strategy. And in looking at your content strategy, it does look like, you know, for as much of a focused entity in terms of the solution that you help solve, you're really looking kind of bigger picture as well. You know, also, I think too, the strategy behind the Seeking Wisdom podcast is a great approach at being kind of kind of the bigger picture of the problem you're solving, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, like, I just think about, and this is the thing that I often have a hard time explaining is people are like, how do you come up with your content ideas? Or like, how do you guys come up with a content strategy? And I create the things that I would think that are interesting to me and people in this industry and in this world. And so like, that's not always, you know, six ways to send X type of email messages. You know, it's like we have to build a brand. And especially in today's world, when there is literally a product for every single idea and solution, I mean, just like go to Product Hunt and look at any new product that launched that day. And the second or third comment is always going to be like, oh, this seems cool, but how is it different than X, which is a product that already exists, right? And so there's so much noise that the only way that you have to stand out is to build a brand. And so, you know, we understand that. And so we don't assume that the first time you come in contact with our business, you're going to buy our product.
I love that. The only way you have to stand out is to build a brand, because that's, I mean, there's so much. Well. Yeah, there's so much of that Me Too content out there.
Totally.
That, like you said, the 10 ways to do this, the 7 steps for doing X. It's like, I had that realization myself just being in the marketing space. I mean, kind of the I don't want to say counterpoint, it's a complementary point to what you were saying about create content that you would respond to. And I found myself, I can't write that stuff anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you'll go to our blog and there, we just wrote something last week that was like 9 tips for whatever. But that post was specifically targeted for people that were at the bottom of our funnel, like people who are already using Drift. And so you might look at that and say it's a listicle, but it's actually not. It's actually really tactical tips for people who are very engaged with our product. So that's way different to me than the top of the funnel type of content that is, you know, about a list post.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, not to say that stuff, you know, I mean, that's picking on list posts as just a well that some go to, but they certainly can be useful. And especially if they're conveyed in, I think the other thing that you're getting at too is, you know, talking about the only way to stand out is having a brand, but, you know, saying something that you would respond to, but also I would have to think that leads to saying something with a pretty clear voice as well.
Yeah, 100%. We know, one of the things that we did early on was David and I sat down and, you know, just kind of picked his brain, like, hey, this is, you know, you're the CEO, like, this is your, you know, this is your dream, like your vision, like what type of, like, you know, what do we want to be as a marketing team and what do we want to be as a brand? And we ended up just writing down, like, you know, I think it's 13 kind of like core values. And we just kind of look at that post every now and then to just remind ourselves, like, you know, And we slip up too every now and then, everybody does, but we have these kind of like guiding principles to look back at to make sure that we're on the right path. And that was actually an awesome exercise, and we ended up publishing it because that also became good content to get people to pay attention to us. And so we published that as our marketing manifesto, and that was a, you know, an awesome exercise to really figure out our voice and our brand.
Well, that's great. And I love, you know, that's what I recommend to clients all the time, especially at smaller organizations too, where you can get into the head of the person that is largely responsible, that, you know, the voice is in there, but, you know, I say it's kind of sometimes it's a mining chore because you have to go get it out. And getting that kind of boiled down to those 13 core values. I think sometimes you talk about brand voice and there's either a bland voice, or it's something sassy like Taco Bell or Old Spice, you know. And anything in between is kind of hard to develop. So I love that interview approach, and I think that's an idea that you can go find that person to help kind of extract that out.
Yeah, totally. That's been something that was super helpful for us. And, you know, honestly, our brand isn't anything crazy. Like, it's just about being us and being real people, and that's a core thing. And so we don't have to try. You know, you have to be yourself. And that's, it's crazy. Like, this is why I have a hard time giving people marketing advice, is because, I don't know, we do the things that feel like us. And so it's hard to, like, coach people on what that is, you know?
Well, I think that's interesting, because that's something that transcends, you know, a big corporate brand, a startup, or even a personal brand. Because I think you hit the nail on the head, because I think sometimes it ends up overtaught and we have trouble finding the answer in there, because what's really key is to be yourself. But for whatever reason, You know, that can be hierarchy at larger organizations. It can be, you know, ending up too busy for a personal brand or a startup to really take that good reflective look in the mirror. But it's hard because you really have to, you know, kind of sit down and, like you said, do some of those exercises and define yourself. It should be easy once you figure that out.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, I think people often assume that they're just going to, like, wake up one day and just, like, start writing and making things and it's going to be perfect, right? Like, I'm able to talk about this now because, like, over the last year, I've literally done hundreds of podcast episodes. I've written thousands of emails. I've written hundreds of blog posts. And so, like, it takes all that time. And sure, if I go back and I listen and I, like, look at the first maybe third of that stuff, it makes me cringe. And so, like, you're always going to have to break through some of the, like, you know, bad stuff in order to get where.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, sometimes we think that there are these ironclad, these plans for things. And so often they're adaptive, whether it's marketing, whether it's content, whether it's your overall brand strategy, it all evolves, but you have to kind of start in a direction.
Exactly.
So in looking at that, I mean, how do you communicate that internally? Because I think it's one of the big, you know, it's enough to figure it out, to kind of solve the problem on your own. But then for others in, you know, the social digital age where we have other people creating content, where we have other people creating podcasts, interacting with customers. And so often consistency is key. So how do you communicate those values, those key tenets of your brand internally?
I mean, there's no people on our marketing team at Drift, and we try to spend a lot of time together. Like you can't really fake that. And at the beginning of every week, we try to set our priorities for the week, and so everybody shares like the two or three big things that they're working on that week. And it becomes pretty obvious as you continue to work together and see what everyone's working on, like, ooh, that one doesn't really match like what we're doing, or maybe we should use this other thing from over here. And so, yeah, so we don't really have like a sexy playbook for it. It just comes down to, you know, being real people and working together every single day. And it's hard to give an answer because like I said, we don't have a playbook and it's not some crazy thing, but you know, one easy thing that we do is like, we're very transparent as a team and as a company about our company goals, and how those break down and, you know, translate into what we're doing in marketing. And so we try to share those routinely, you know, daily, if not weekly, monthly, quarterly, like that always needs to be at the forefront. And then we all share what we're each working on that week. And then we just keep each other accountable for like, is this thing that we're working on today, does it help us reach X goal? You know, sometimes there's more branding oriented stuff that isn't like direct response marketing, right? But like, you have a good sense of like, are the things that we're doing, do they fit in our vision, and do they feel like drifty is what we kind of call internally.
Oh, I love that. Not all of us are blessed with brand names that we can just quickly add a Y to and apply like, that. But I love that. But you know what it means.
Yeah, we know what it means. And like, here's an example. Like, I think I mentioned this to you earlier. Like, our brand is, we want to be real people and authentic. And so we basically call each other out now if we're like creating new website designs or new things and we're not showing real people's faces. And so when somebody like might share something for feedback and there's no people in it and it doesn't feel real, we just might comment like, needs faces or needs people. And that's just like, you know, we've come up internally that like, you know, people faces equals feeling drifty. And so like, that's just a core value that we just kind of, you know, keep each other in check on. But it's not something that one person can do. Like, even though I live this and think about it every single day, I slip up sometimes. And so it helps to have a team of people. And that's why having this like shared set of values that everyone knows, and we walk through every new hire on the marketing team, we go through all of these things. I think that's a great way to set expectations for the future.
Well, and when everybody knows, it's easy for everybody else. I think too often we keep all of these insights, all of these goals kind of in our own head or in our own department. So in anything that you can easily share and have someone with that kind of shorthand know, yeah, I love that, you know, faces equal drifty. I mean, that's it's again, it's a great shorthand.
And like one other thing on that topic is like, you know, I mentioned how like we have, you know, new hires. We kind of basically have this deck that we've built. It's like how we do marketing at Drift, and we'll run through that like with new hires. But we'll also open that up to anybody on the team. And so like engineers, designers, product people, salespeople, we'll just say like, hey, FYI, we're running a marketing training for tomorrow for our new hire. If it's open to anybody. So if you want to just come and like drink a coffee and sit in the background while we're going through it. And so that, and I was surprised, like a bunch of people joined the first one that we did. And I think it's just a way of like promoting transparency throughout the company, especially in marketing.
You know, as marketers, I think we sometimes get this woe is us, like, oh, nobody's going to want to come hear my thing. But just what you said, hey, if you want to stop by, I've seen that happen many times at many different organizations. Ah, we're doing something for new people. If anybody else wants to, and you've got other people that you didn't suspect being there, but now either they're in better alignment or they bring some new ideas to the table that are great. So all kinds of great things can happen just from keeping that open. And I like what you said too earlier about goals, you know, in that a lot of the things that you're very modestly filing under, you know, not real special, but they're really simple things that I think merit being captured, because you talked about being transparent with goals. And I think sometimes we think, with our marketing, we're trying to do this, and organizationally, we want to do that. And there shouldn't be a whole lot of daylight between all of this as well, in knowing what you're about, what you're trying to accomplish, and how you're getting there. You know, that informs most organizations' sales goals. It informs the marketing that they're using to achieve that, and the how that goes into communicating that as well. So all of this stuff should theoretically be people in an organization marching together, creating a strong, consistent brand.
Yeah, and like the goals piece is super important, because at the end of the day, people on your team are going to do what they're incentivized to do. And so, you know, if we had a team of marketing people and we said, okay, your job is blog views, right? And that's how we're going to pay you. Well, guess what that person's going to do, right? All of the things in order to hit that goal that don't match what we actually want to do as a business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think you can think of, you know, those stories from other organizations, or if listeners have had it happen to theirs, where there is that disconnect of, oh, hey, here's the brand thing. We're trying to do this. And it's counterintuitive to what someone else's goal is. So
exactly.
They're going to be less likely to be involved in what you're doing, and your overall efforts, your overall brand is going to suffer as a result too.
Yep. Yep.
So, as we start to wrap things up this week, I always like to ask our guests if there is a brand that has made you smile recently.
Oh man, that's a good question. There is, and well, I'm going to give you two, because we look up to them both as inspirations.
Two are allowed. Well, that's acceptable.
and the brands are Slack and MailChimp, and I don't know if anybody, I'm sure people have mentioned Slack before, but I'm going to pick a different reason. Is it's not their homepage. It's the little things that they do inside of the product, and the way that, like, no matter where you end up, you find a little way to remember who their brand is and get delighted by, like, yeah, you know what? Even if I end up in a dead end and I can't upload this damn photo and I don't know why this is working, there's always like a little line of copy that just reminds you, like, yeah, you know what? I love this product.
That's so great. And I would presume the same thing with MailChimp as well.
Yeah, it's exact same thing. I think like right now their homepage is like, you know, like send better emails, send more stuff, right? Like, in a classically trained marketing person would be like, that, what does stuff mean? You need to be more specific. But it's like, no, that's how people talk.
Exactly. And you know, I'm so far down the MailChimp chute that I don't know when the last time was I had anything open but the login page, which I think has a skiing monkey maybe, but I mean, one of my favorite and one of the most underrated brand touch points for everybody that talks about all these great big brands doing great big things, that little moment of the animated monkey's finger pushing the red button. I mean, if anybody that's an email marketer, that captures the moment with levity.
Yeah. The monkey's sweating. And that just shows you that they have empathy, and it just shows you it seems really funny, right? It's like a monkey pressing a button. But if you actually boil it down, that means they've actually talked to their damn customers, and they understand that, oh, this is a nerve-wracking moment. Let's try to tell them that we feel you. We understand.
Absolutely. I think it's so easy to write that off as oh, it's a dorky. They do this cartoon monkey stuff. It's a bunch of silly, fun stuff. But you're absolutely right. They understand that moment. Empathy. One of those tricky things that we're after. Sometimes it takes a sweaty cartoon monkey. That's this week's soundbite. Dave, as we wrap, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Dave Gerhart. I'm sure you'll spell it for people in the show notes. And then just go check out what we're doing at drift.com, and check out our blog. We you know, like I said, we make everything free. And so, you're not gonna have to fill out a form in order to see what we're about. Check out our content and contact me and let me know what you think, if I delivered on the promise that we talked about on this interview, or if you want to, call me out on something, I'm always open to that as well.
Awesome. And for those that may not, we'd love to think that everybody would make it to the show notes, but if they don't, Gerhart is GERHARDT. So
that's right.
We will help everyone out there. Well, Dave, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun, and I'm glad to have been a part of it.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Drew McClellan gave us a shout out for his recent episode that we recorded probably over a year ago. And in sort of the podcast exchange program, I was also on Drew's great podcast called Build a Better Agency. So big shout out to Drew for sharing that episode from the Wayback File, and be sure to go check out Drew's podcast as well. Last but not least, you can find links to everything that we talked about at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. And remember, On Brand is brought to you by my book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Order now at Amazon and check out GetScrappyBook.com for special offers and extras. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to OnBrandPodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.